Welcome to Bravo Critics, Roni Edition. I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky. Join us on this journey to relive the glory days of The Real Housewives of New York City.
In 2022, we are watching one season each month with a fresh set of eyes.
Here, it's always turtle time, where we're going to mention it all while making it nice.
So grab a drink and hang with us. Everyone's a critic.
Welcome back, Bravo Critics. We are here for season four of our Roni rewatch, and what a great season it was.
Oh, I'm so excited. We had so much this season, and this is Ricky's favorite season. So he is definitely like all in on this.
I mean, I can't decide if it's my favorite season as a whole, but the girls' trip to Morocco is definitely top tier in my mind. And you know, it's the last season that we get of Roni, like really old school Roni.
Yeah, I agree. Because after season four, things kind of, you know, pivot a bit. And even with season four, we had, you know, the loss of Bethany. This was Bethany's first season that she was not a housewife. We had a new housewife full-time, which was Sonia, right? Because Sonia was only part-time half season last season. And then we have a brand spanking new housewife, Miss Cindy. So yeah, it was definitely interesting.
And Cindy was such an odd choice for a housewife. I mean, she definitely has like the criteria they want. She's a, you know, successful woman in New York City. And she's got the two kids that she's raising on her own. And I don't know. So, I mean, she's got all of that, but I feel like she just really couldn't handle the women.
I think they wanted her to have like that downtown cool girl feel, and it just didn't maybe translate the way that they hoped it would on screen. And she didn't really integrate well with the other ladies. You know, ultimately, it just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll touch on it more, but I feel like even though she was friends with the brunette side of things, like she would even get frustrated with the brunettes too.
Yeah. She never quite found her groove or her person. At least if you are, you know, they kind of say, you know, they throw you to the wolves when you start, you know, housewives, but at least if you have one person that you can kind of band with, then you feel like you've got something. But she didn't even have that. The poor girl was out there on an island all on her own. So
I know. And speaking of island, we are still seeing some of the carryover from Scary Island when it comes to like Jill and Ramona, because, you know, Jill is still mad about getting kicked out of the house or, you know, being sent away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm still on the side in this. I'm not on Ramona's side very often, but Jill not being at that house was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, it probably was. I still don't agree with the way that Ramona treated her friend, her quote unquote friend. So I still stay on the side of Jill. Like, they could have handled it differently. They were very hurtful to her friend. But don't even get me started on the whole Bethany Jill thing again.
But it's like, if you think that initial response, though, when Jill walking in was bad, just imagine how much worse it would have been if she'd been there for like the rest of the day.
Yeah, that would have been it was uncomfortable in its entirety. And poor Bobby, like, thank God she had Bobby. She had a buffer.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got to see this year too, like, Sonia and Ramona, right? They're like BFFs and they were friends. Like last season, remember, they got all crazy together and they, you know, we got to see a little bit of their shenanigans. I would love to see or to hear some stories of Ramona and Sonia from like 20 years ago and what they did before they were married.
I know. I feel like the stories they have are probably so wild, but you know, I loved that friendship, and that was like one of the best things, you know, about watching Roni for so long was watching just those two interacting on their vacations. And like, they're always sharing the rooms or, you know, and this is the first season where everyone's just okay with the room they're given.
Yeah,
we aren't getting into all the rooming drama just yet, which I thought was sort of funny. But yeah, it's just so good to see, like, they're just like two gals that want to have a great time. And they're both down to do that. They crack me up so much together.
Yes, those girls love a cocktail.
Yeah, and Ramona and her Pinot.
Yes.
But, sort of just going back to the fight between Ramona and Jill, like, it was, like, in full swing by the time the season started when they were at that wedding. And obviously Jill was not happy with Alex at that point either because, you know, she's like, what the fuck is she doing at this wedding? This is way above her social circle. And it's like, whoa.
That was so petty. This is
like almost like 20 minutes after we had seen Jill being like, I'm a changed woman. I'm a nicer person now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I know. I did agree with Jill, though, when she said, why is Alex and Ramona wearing white or ivory to a wedding? That was so tacky to me. I definitely was like, really? Did you guys like call each other and say, how can we be so inappropriate? But yeah, I think that whole situation, that whole wedding was so weird. There were you had Ramona and the Jill stuff. Then you had, you know, the whole dead man suit thing. You know, that was crazy to me. And I didn't understand at first. I forgot about that. So like when all this was happening, this season 4 is probably not one of the seasons I normally pick. Like, cause we all say, right, we're doing this Roni rewatch, but we've watched them a million times. This is normally not the first time we're watching them. And I feel like I don't normally go back to watch 4. So some of the stuff I forgot about. So like the whole suit and the cigar and Cindy's brother, Howie, right? You said his name was Howie.
That's weird. Like crazy because that sets Ramona and her off on like the wrong foot from the very beginning, like wearing the suit, smoking the cigar because Cindy's brother is dating a close friend of Ramona's widow.
Ramona's wait. Oh yes. Okay.
Yeah, Cindy's brother is dating Ramona's friend's widow. Like her friend died, and that's why she's upset because apparently he's wearing the friend's suits to the wedding that they're at. And smoking his cigars. But, you know, I mean, the people had, like, Ramona had other problems with Cindy, too. And, like, it's so funny because Sonia was already not on the right foot with her because of, like, the whole thing with her not wanting to go to Quag. And she's like, you know, I, like, went downtown for you. But it's like, who wants to go to Quag? Does anyone want to go to Quag? It's, like, so far out of the way.
And Cindy's
Quag is the new Brooklyn.
Quag is the new Brooklyn. Cindy was so confused. She was just like dumbfounded. She couldn't believe that they were actually saying like, no, I don't want to go all the way down there.
Yeah.
She's like, it's what do you mean?
Cause like Quag walked so the Berkshires could run.
Oh.
Cause then like, we're getting even further. Like we're going to Massachusetts for the weekend.
That is true. Well, you know, we will see later on in the season that the gals don't like to travel far for various reasons, whether it's really the travel timing or if it's the destination.
And then how dare Cindy? Ramona makes it all the way out to Quag and she doesn't even have her Pinot Grigio.
My gosh. So, and they touched on that at the reunion too, like where they wrapped it up. So I want to say, I think it's interesting because they were saying that Ramona brought a case of wine or was going to bring a bottle of wine. And they were like, specifically, do not bring the wine. We have the wine. So Ramona says, I'm trying to be a good friend. I don't want to offend her and come into her party with wine when she specifically tells me she's got it. And then she doesn't have it and all hell breaks loose. And I think that Ramona should have been a little bit more gracious. And maybe this is the time you have some water. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Yeah. Like she acts like it, that's the only option to drink, but it's like, I don't know. That also leads to one of the funniest conversations in housewife history to me. And that's Sonia telling me that when Ramona's coming to your
Sonia party, telling you,
yeah, when Ramona's telling you that, she's got to have Pinot Grigio at the party because Ramona's coming and she's like, you got to follow the pecking order. And she's like, you know, if Ramona helps you out, you got to help her out. And if she wants Pinot Grigio, you get her the Pinot Grigio. Just like the look on Cindy's face. I think like that was the moment she's like, I might be in over my head with these women.
Or she's like, these ladies really believe the craziness that they're spewing out of their mouths. Like, this is their world, and I may have stepped into the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of a funny thing, because like, there are so many different things that Sonya says to Cindy that are sort of like prim and proper, and like Cindy gets so mad about it, but Luann's like, well, darling, you are wrong.
That's, so Sonya invites Cindy to her home, right? Which we see is like, that's a big deal when she invites her to her house to have tea and wants to. So in Sonya's mind, I really, and correct me if you think differently, Ricky, but I feel like Sonya in her mind was one kind of not doing it out of malice, but she was kind of letting her know what's up, but also saying like,
this, I think, is she the did lay it to of help her out.
Like, this is the lay of the land. And then she's like, I don't invite people into my home very often. I'm extending, you know, a morning of tea for us to talk. And then it turns into this, you know, that was what was so enjoyable though for me, because Sonya is like, I love, what do they call her? I'm trying to think. Like, I love like the lady of the house.
Oh, Lady Morgan.
Lady Morgan. Like, I had a brain like freeze for a second. Yes. Like, I love when she's Lady Morgan, you know? And I feel like in that scene, she was very Lady Morgan.
Lady Morgan's one of my favorite characters on The Housewives.
I'm glad that you knew what I was trying to say. See, that's why.
It's like, I also love that side of Sonya that's really like spicy and fiery. Like, oh, yeah. We get to see more of that this season too, because then we have the whole drama with the marriage equality march.
Yes, that was definitely interesting, because they invited Sonya to be the guest speaker, right? Or the host?
She was some sort of
Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal, yeah.
Grand Marshal was what it was, yes. And then Alex, we know, is the one who like sent out the invitation, right? And was like hosting, helping as part of like the committee or the board for marriage equality. And that was a great scene, because they all wore their old wedding dresses or something like an old wedding dress. And it was supposed to be a great for the cause moment that, of course, turned into housewife history.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And then, of course, Simon weaseled his way in there, too.
It's like, only in New York would we have two housewives and a house husband fighting over the gays. Like, who gets to have all of the glory in this equality march? And like, they talk about it a little bit at the reunion too, but it's, yes, like, it's so ridiculous that like the people that are fighting about this have really no skin in the game.
Andy, literally, I was going to say that about the reunion. He looked over and goes, do you actually think that march had, yeah, anything to do with it being passed? And they were like, yes, we do. Yes, we really do. He's like, okay. You know, like, I thought that,
like,
was funny. You know,
like, we brought attention to it. And if it hadn't been on this episode.
And we would have. Yeah. Andy's like.
Yeah. And he's like, yes, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. Who do you think was right and wrong in that situation?
I think that they all should have been able to speak. I think that it was not a time to say it's about me. Sonya was selfish in that moment. I think that Alex and Simon were also selfish in that moment, because they were like, what about me? Now, if it went down the way that they said it actually went down, where like Sonya was like, oh, they were able to speak, and now that I'm the Grand Marshal, it's only me, because I need to be the only person from Roni getting the recognition. If that's the way it went down, which it probably did, I think that's bogus.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't know why Simon felt like he needed to be the one to speak, because right, it actually should have been Alex. That was the only part that I really had a problem with. And that's something that Sonya says at the reunion, is that she thought like the main reason that she didn't like it was also because trying to get involved in something that was none of his business. Like, he's not on the board. He wasn't asked to speak, but it feels like it's maybe a little bit of both. I don't think Sonya really liked that. I don't think that Sonya was aware when she took the gig on that she was basically replacing Alex. But after it happened, I don't think she really cared.
Well, but also on the, yes, she did not care, I don't think. And also, didn't they say on the invite that it said Alex's name? It did not say Simon's name. So when Sonya was putting her foot down, she thought she was stopping initially Alex, not even Simon. So when she found out it was Simon, she was really like, oh, hell no. Nope. that we are not doing. So like, I think that's actually kind of how it played out. And Alex gets so okay, let's talk a little bit about like individually, right? Like we see a little bit more of Sonia being a bit more aggressive, a bit more, you know, predominant, right? Showing who she is, kind of like staking her claim. You see Luann a little bit more this season, being a little bit more confrontational. And then you see Alex as well. All these women came in guns a-blazing season four, and they were like, no, no, no. And I think that Jill came in like, I'm a changed person. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be mellow. And Jill was able to stay out of a little bit of drama because she took like a trip to Australia at one point. So she wasn't there for some stuff, but she did not really change. I think she just became a little bit more conscious of how she appeared to others. So the whole thing, and Ramona's like, I am who I am.
Yeah, exactly. But and it's just so funny because like, I don't know, Alex, you know, it was good that she found her voice, but I don't think she really knows how to use it right. Like, so, you know, after the marriage equality march, Sonia has a party and Alex is there, and she chooses this party as the time to confront Lady Morgan about the equality march and ends up getting herself kicked out.
That was actually one of my favorite scenes of the whole season, because I really enjoyed, like, Alex did not back down. She just kept going like a little chihuahua, just, you know, it was like, it gave me a visual of Sonia just putting her hand on Alex's head and just on her forehead, just holding her back while Alex just like kicked and fought and just wanted to keep going and going. And Sonia was like, you need to leave my house.
She's like, you're out.
It's time to go. And you notice Alex did not back down until Luann and Cindy entered the door of that party. And then she was like, I'm leaving. And then she left. Yeah. I think she would have kept going a good another 5 or 10 had those ladies not walked in.
Well, yeah. And they did end up making up, but it's like the last thing Alex wanted to do is like get on the wrong. She was like, I don't need the brunettes dealing with my blonde drama, because the entire season was brunettes versus blondes.
Yes.
And like after Alex and Sonya made up, it sort of was like, okay, now we're back to our like balanced powers here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, so many of the women were mostly just mad at Ramona. Like, because again, you had the Jill and Ramona still mad at each other. And by the time Jill does make it back from Australia, they're still not, things are still not going well at all. They have another confrontation, and then Jill leaves and she's like, well, like, I bought her this little koala bear in Australia. Can you give it to her?
And she was sobbing.
Like, oh no, you give it to her yourself. And, you know, Ramona's also got problems with Kelly, and Kelly doesn't want to, like, you know, they're talking about, let's do a girls trip. And like, Kelly's like, well, I don't want to go anywhere Ramona's going.
PTSD for sure. Kelly's like, let's not have a repeat of Scary Island. Although I will say I really enjoyed Kelly this season. Kelly was, her confessionals were hilarious.
Yeah.
She cracked me up. I enjoyed her a lot on the vacation. It was like this season's vacation was like a polar opposite of, you know, obviously Scary Island. I feel like Kelly just kind of, we saw a little bit more of her, you know, we saw her open up a little bit to Luann about some domestic abuse that she had in the past and her relationships. And so I think that we got to see a little bit more. I'm actually surprised that Kelly opened up as much as she did this season. After the season she had last year, that took a lot of, I think, bravery to just be like, I'm going to really try to be raw and authentic because I've already laid everything out there last season. So now I have to kind of like speak my truth. So that I really enjoyed Kelly this season. I really liked her this season. I thought she was a little bit more light. And then when she was trying to be like a badass, she still gave great comedic relief.
Yeah, like I don't think she necessarily meant to be comedic at those points, but no. It definitely was. And like you said, like the vacation this time was so different because she was more like in control of the situations, and she was the one telling people basically go to sleep.
Yeah, she was more of a spectator too. Like I feel like,
well, without Bethany there was no one constantly laying into her.
Yeah, she wasn't one of the main players this season. You know, I felt like she was really like a supporting character. And then, you know, so as Ricky said at the beginning, Morocco's like one of his favorite trips. And I feel like we get a lot of scenes from Morocco first of all, that place that they stayed was stunning. Let's manifest that. So you and I, when we are going to Morocco for like this amazing, you know, life we're going to build in this empire, we're going to stay where Lady Morgan is going to stay. Yes, that's where we're going to stay.
But yeah, Morocco is definitely one of my favorite trips. Yahabibi.
Yahabibi, baby.
You know, it's like the...
What does that mean? Thank you?
It means darling.
Oh, darling.
Yeah, because you know, they went darling.
Darling, yes. They were trying to say thank you, I think, and it was too difficult. So then they stuck with Yahabibi because it was darling, right?
Yeah, I mean, they just kept on saying it throughout the entire trip, but... you know, it's the trip just cracks me up so much. Like, it's so cringy. Like, as soon as like Ramona and Sonia and Alex arrive, Ramona's like, look at all the poverty, look at all the dust. And then meanwhile, she ends up like rolling into this like multi-million dollar compound that's like an oasis in the desert. And it's like, maybe you should be a little bit more grateful for your life.
Looking for the staff.
Yeah,
looking for the staff right away. We had a debacle about hangers,
like, so right from the get-go, and it's like, it was just like such a petty thing to do. And I feel like that's when Luann started to get a little bit annoyed with Cindy was a couple times throughout this trip, like the hanger situation.
But do you think they went into her room? I think they did. I think they went into her room and took her hangers. Like, that is so a Ramona and Sonia thing to do.
I don't think they did, because Ramona was too busy bossing around the staff, getting herself unpacked. That's what I believe. She was probably getting herself some wine, having them start unpacking, because she probably didn't even know she needed more hangers until the staff started unpacking things.
What if it was the staff? Like, oh, we know
that's what I sort of
hangers in this room, and we need more hangers here. Let me go get this, and we can always supplement Cindy if we need to. That's probably actually what happened, now that you think about it. But yeah, Luann did get a little annoyed with Cindy, because she was like, I thought, you know, she called it hanger gate, right? She was like, I thought the hanger gate was going to be much more than it was. And she came upstairs, and Sonia and Ramona were just very light and vacation-esque. As they are once you take them outside of New York.
I feel like Luann was a little bit annoyed at all of the women, aside from Kelly and Jill, at some point during this trip, though, because they were all just being so extra and trying to cause chaos and a calm.
You see Luann.
The opposite of putting a calm in a chaos.
You see Luann at one point, like they flash to her and she's looking at them like, what is going on? She's like, that's looking at them.
I have the white wine. I have white wine. I know. That scene is always burned in my head, because like Luann's is sort of like, what the fuck? They're like dashing around because like they just got back from, they said that they're going to go take a relaxing car ride in the desert.
What?
They arrived. Luann's like, who takes a relaxing car ride in the desert?
Yes.
And then they go back to the table, and like the girls are also equally thinking the same thing. Like Jill's like, no one fucking rides around in the desert. I don't think so. They talked about a hotel.
I'm glad you remembered that, because that is classic Sonia and Ramona. That just a bit, like, I just squealed right now, because that shit makes me laugh, because that is classic Sonia and Ramona. Like, in seasons in the future, we'll see them like hiding from the ladies, running down to the beach, escaping to restaurants separately because they don't want to include the other girls. They really are like the original frickin' frack before, you know, Phaedra and Portia became frickin' frack. But they really were. It was so fun to see.
Yeah. You know, like you said, they do that like running around and hiding and stuff. And they do a lot of that on this trip too. Like the scene that we were talking about with where Luann's like, I have my wine. And they're like running around upstairs. And later on, they're like running around while the other women are fighting and go and look for, see what their dresses look like that the designer is making.
Yeah. So they insult the designer. And then they go and get
in the original consultation and in like the second fitting.
Yes. They steal the dresses. Although I loved that green one that Ramona wore. That would have probably been the one I picked too. And then they were late for dinner. And this is not the Four Seasons, darling. Like, yeah,
this is Morocco.
Yeah. You know, and that's the funny thing. It's like, so we all know that the cast trips are once a season, right? For the large one. We all know that they pick one housewife to be like the hostess. So
Luann was such a good hostess for this particular trip, especially like, you know, she got to speak French. And what did you think about Brad randomly showing up in Morocco? That had to have been pretty planned, right?
Oh, that was totally planned because obviously he was mic'd and, you know, they ran into each other and
they don't walk around with extra mics like that.
Exactly. I also think, though, that it was interesting to me how Jill played Brad a little bit, not played him, but kind of put him on blast by like saying like, oh, I thought this was his house, but he's staying at an Airbnb or a bed and breakfast or whatever it was. I like Brad, but that was interesting to me because I was like, oh, are they not as close anymore? Or is it just that his career took off and he went and did his own thing?
Possibly. I mean, she was definitely insinuating like, well, it's not his house and it's not even like his rental. It's like a shared space. Like
it was shade.
Yeah. And Luann was really shady to him too. It was actually the second time she had made this comment, but she was like, I wouldn't have invited you either. Were you wearing that? Well, I wouldn't have invited you either. And she said that, cause when she saw, when Sonia kicked Alex out of the house, she said that she would have kicked Alex out just for her dress.
Yeah.
She was dressed like sort of like a dominatrix almost.
Yeah, she got a little bit more diggy this season, which is fun. Good times.
The Countess actually has some pretty good shade.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, so we had the infamous camel ride.
That's yeah.
I wonder.
We ended with that dinner in the desert, which I also really love that scene too, because, you know, all the ladies are trying to like talk and connect. And it's another situation where Cindy's getting frustrated with the women because like no one's listening to me. And I was wearing the little, like, it's like the lid to some like cookery. And that was like, everyone had to wear the little thing on their head. And that's who at the time.
That's so funny. Yeah, did she have anything exciting to say? Did she have anything that?
Not really.
Was substantial to bring to that group? I mean, I actually will tell you this. When I first watched it this season, I was like, yeah, I don't like Cindy. Like, I don't even know why they put her on here. This is like, I hate it. But then I appreciated her a little bit more this time watching her. So that was that I enjoyed her more. I understood her a little bit more. I sympathized or empathized a little bit more with Cindy this season. But she really wasn't part of the Morocco trip. And I kind of feel like a little bit, okay, wait, this is something that's very interesting to discover on the rewatch is a fortune teller that they saw. Was she?
Yeah, I was about to say, we need to roll it back real quick because that was at Brad's party. And that was like the craziest thing that happened. And everyone at the time was probably like, maybe.
Was she a fortune teller, like a psychic, or was she supposed to be just like one? Because she didn't speak English, this lady, at all. And
she was a fortune teller.
And those, I swear, when you get like the old woman from another country who's like, you know, I believe in those. Like holistic healers, you know, they could see the future. Now I think that there's a lot of, you know, crooks out there, but I think that that lady was onto something.
She was like, you may think of your husband, but there's another woman. It was like, oh,
there's another woman thinking of your husband. And then that's the interesting thing when she just pushed it off as being Avery, because when you think of the exact wording, because that was interesting, right? Let's roll it back, like you said, because let's dissect this a little bit, because Luann said she was trying to paraphrase and Kelly was translating word for word. And then Luann and Kelly start to bicker just a smidge.
I love that because Kelly's like, I'm translating, not inferring.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you think about it, when it comes down to something so, and Kelly was 100% right, when it comes down to something so fragile, so sensitive, you do not want to be responsible for misconstruing any words. You're like, if this sentence doesn't make sense, don't ask me, because that's exactly what she said. So I thought that was very interesting how Luann tried to protect Ramona because she had just gone through that. So that showed some empathy from Luann a little bit, because Luann didn't even want to say it.
Exactly. And I mean, then Sonia just starts like having a breakdown.
I
She was really wild that entire vacation, but like that house party, she was like next level.
Do you think that Sonya, because remember how they had said that others had heard the rumors about Mario cheating on Ramona? Do we think that obviously Sonya had heard those rumors as well? And that's why she got so upset, because she was like, oh shit, like here we go. Because Sonya is probably triggered too. She went through it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very possible, because I think that, you know, she's probably heard those rumors before. She didn't know how many people had been hearing the rumors, and she'd probably always tried to protect Ramona from those rumors as much as possible.
And shut it down. But you do see Mario, like, looking at people, checking. He looks at Ramona, I mean, Sonya up and down, checks her boobs out, looks at other ladies.
In the previous season, they're both out at lunch, and, like, the waitress walks by, and you see him, like, give her an up and down. It's like, that is so cringy.
It is. It is.
Like, he's such, like, a perv that he's, like, always copping out women.
I know. I agree. It's so disgusting. So, like, we see the beginning of the end for Ramona and Mario. Without even knowing it. And I think that that was probably her first, like, real sign. I really think that maybe she hadn't heard it, and she was living in her own world. And that was her first, like, oh, shit. And then she says something. We see her confront Mario too, and they kind of blew it off. But,
well, I don't know. I'm a little bit, after doing the rewatch and seeing season three again, it does make me feel like, was there a reason why they needed to do that vow renewal?
Oh yeah, because she needed a storyline. It didn't have anything to do with him.
I think it might have actually had something to do with, like, maybe he had been caught cheating. They were working on things. She was going through this renewal and decided that, you know, the only way that they can really move forward is to, like, you know, if he's going to go through with this and reconfirm his love for me, then we can stay together, even though he's done this. And then obviously the next time it gets even worse, because, you know, she finds out about him cheating, but they're only separated for a while, and it takes him a while to decide to actually get divorced.
Yeah, they were in the long haul. Jill just recently, I think I referenced this on our last podcast, so I won't bore anybody with the same story, but Jill did say just recently on the Juicy Scoop podcast that she thinks that even still current day that Ramona did the vow renewal of 17 years because she had zero storyline and had to have something to put the spotlight on her. She still thinks that. But so I'm interested. I would love to, like, get her thoughts on, well, what about this? Do you think this could have also been a factor, Jill, and kind of see what she thinks looking back on it? Because I think that that's very well a possibility.
Another one of my favorite parts about Morocco is when the girls are getting their relaxing henna session.
Yes.
And out, you hear Luann's, what is that, a buffalo? And it's Alex coming down the stairs to, like, confront them. Casino, as Kelly says.
Yeah, I can't believe that I almost forgot to touch on that, because that was an epic moment. And that's when Kelly says one of my favorite things she says all season, when she's like, no, you need to do it again, Alex. Do it again. And
re-enter.
Alex is like, re-enter. And so the funny part about it is that Alex did come down and saw that she did come down like a crazy buffalo. I do think that the stairs probably were echoey and she just had clunky shoes on and she was being lazy and didn't go down dainty. Probably. That's probably all it was. Right. But I think it's hilarious that when she came down and saw everybody was doing their henna tattoos, she was like, let me know when you can tuck. And then she, like, leaves. And then she's surprised when these women call her back. Like, really? We're, like, chilling. And now you're going to come in and abruptly.
Luann's like, no, sit down. Sit down.
Sit down. And then Kelly's like, no, re-enter.
Yeah. Kelly was just so funny in that scene. And she was being, like, she was, like, clearly so pissed and fed up with, like, Alex being, like, such a drama queen. Because she was like, no, you're not. And she's like, and you're not sad. Or you're not mad. You're sad. And you're trying to cause calm in a state of chaos. And it's like, what?
Didn't she talk about Santa?
And yeah, she said, well, and that's the other part that really cracks me up is when Kelly leaves, she's on this rant. She's like, idiot, stupid. Who's going to fix this? Santa Claus? But she's just ranting, and like you can, like Alex and everyone in the room is quiet because like she's out in the courtyard, so you can hear her yelling. She must be yelling at like a producer or something. I don't
know. Yeah, or probably just like to herself. And then they get outside, and Kelly tells Alex to close her eyes and shh, stop talking, close your eyes. And then she's like, okay, now open your eyes. Like, the whole thing was just so weird.
It was so weird. And Alex is actually like listening. She's like, shh, no, no, close your eyes, close your eyes. And she's like, I'll close my eyes after. Shh, no, close your eyes now.
And then as soon as she closes them, she's like, okay, open your eyes. And you know what? At the reunion, Alex tells Kelly to close her eyes at one moment. And I laugh at that. It's like, go to sleep, go to sleep. It's like, close your eyes. Shh.
It's like, and then Jill walks up with her really curly hair that they did, not even really knowing what she's stepping into. And like, of course, have Kelly be the one to try to explain it. And that's when she makes that comment about she's trying to create calm in a state of chaos or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Jill's just like, what is happening here?
Jill and her poodle hair. I loved that.
and then like later on, like they have the dinner, and that's where like the girls don't show up because they've quote unquote eaten in their rooms, and Alex enters all weird. And then like, it only takes like 5 minutes for Kelly to be like, all right, Alex, you need to go to bed. She's like, you need to dismiss yourself, Alex. You're an educated woman. I'm very shocked at this.
Yeah, that's funny. That was good. God, Kelly was really great. She delivered a lot of comic relief, I feel like, this season, even though it wasn't intentional.
Yeah, exactly. And but I don't know. It's kind of funny because I feel like Cindy really wasn't, aside from like a little small squalor that her and Sony had about the seats and they're fighting in the market. Like, it almost felt like Cindy wasn't there.
No, I agree. I mean, and then we look at the pictures from the trip, you know, at the, when they get home, Cindy's showing her brother, her picture, is it her brother showing pictures of the trip? And then you have all the ladies on their camel, and the photographer, also known as Miss Sonia Morgan, decided to crop Cindy out of all of the group pictures, which I thought was awesome. Even, and she admitted to it, which was
the most petty gangster shit ever.
Yes. Yes. And she's like, and I own that. I cut her out of the pictures. Yep. That's what I did.
And it just makes it even funnier because like Cindy was like, that was my favorite moment.
Yeah. And the funny part is that Cindy didn't even notice it until her brother pointed it out. Cause she was just like, so that shows you, I guess she's not very vain.
She's like, wait, that's my camel.
Yeah. Wait, that's my arm. You saw just her hand. Like, yeah, that was a good time. And that camel was scary. So I'm, you know, would you ever ride a camel?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think I would. But yeah, that was great. So I thought that was a funny way to kind of tie the bow on the Morocco trip when Cindy was looking at the pictures and she was nowhere to be found.
So obviously the problems that Cindy and Sonia had didn't stay at the beginning of the season. They didn't stay behind in Morocco, and they really just kind of continued even when they got back into the city. Like, you know, earlier in the season, we had Sonia fighting with Cindy about not coming downtown, or she went all the way downtown to go and see Cindy and have lunch. But Cindy had some sort of like tooth problem.
Yes, because you know, you don't mess with Sonia and Cipriani. Isn't that where
Cipriani?
So Cindy had promised Sonia Cipriani, which is Sonia's favorite restaurant. So Sonia's like, I will come downtown for that. So she came very happily and thinking that she was being treated to lunch. And then Cindy basically bailed on her.
Yeah. And then it's like they tried to have like a makeup like lunch situation later on. And well, Sonia was making her breakfast. It was basically lunchtime, apparently, because it was like 11 o'clock. But Sonia has Cindy over to make her breakfast. You know, Lady Morgan's in the kitchen cooking away. And Cindy just has to get on a conference call. And that's just really pissing Sonia off. And Cindy's getting frustrated, too, because like Sonia's like banging pans around. And
yeah, that's
it was kind of rude, though. She could have gone to the other room. The dining room looked, you could have sat at the table in the dining room.
Yes, she brought her assistant. So I thought that was interesting. She left her assistant downstairs. She doesn't eat. What'd you say?
She doesn't eat.
She doesn't eat. Oh my gosh. Yes. So there's a scene where, okay. I feel like, number one, yes, Cindy, if you think you and Sonia are really friends, then I would think, okay, yeah, you can take a conference call from her house. But that's when you're like, hey, heads up, they threw a call on me this morning. I know we had plans for lunch. Send a quick text. Do you mind if I take a 20-minute call from your other room? Like, be respectful, regardless if that's your friend. You just say, hey, I know we were coming for breakfast, but do you mind? And Sonia may very well may have told her, I'm very busy. Lady Morgan has a full schedule, and let's just do this another day. But Cindy didn't do that. And then she told Sonia, can you be quiet? And like was rude about it.
And it's funny because Cindy uses the excuse that Sonia should have been more gracious because it's her friend. But it's like, I feel like as Sonia's friend, you should be even more courteous to them and say, hey, I've just got to take this call. It'll take 10 minutes. I'm just going to step over here into the dining room.
Yeah, she's a guest in her home. Sonia, what you said, Lady Morgan doing her thing, she was in her pajamas. It was a very intimate, cozy moment. And so, and then so they sit down to eat, and Sonia hands the silverware to Cindy's assistant. So Cindy's assistant can get her situated so Cindy can eat while she's on the phone. And Cindy says she doesn't eat. And that like really triggered Sonia. I mean, the whole situation was just so weird. And the fact that it took Cindy so long, she just kept repeating, just give me 30 seconds. Just give me 30 seconds. Like the fact that it took Cindy so long to keep freaking saying that, just give your fucking assistant the phone and have her go close shop. Like, so Cindy was, I don't feel like there was ill intent behind what Cindy did, but Cindy was wrong.
She was rude.
Yeah,
She
you're
was
just
rude.
rude.
And even Luann agreed at the reunion. Luann's like, well, I wouldn't have done that, darling.
Right. And then Cindy's very much like, well, you guys aren't real business women. You don't know what it's like. And that's not true. The other women are very much business women, but just in a different capacity. You know what I mean? So it seems that Cindy is very involved in her business, and that's different from when you are popping into Zarin Fabrics or doing renewal or the I don't know. Ramona's just she's really rich, so she's doing something right, but I don't know what the hell Ramona really does.
Yeah, I mean, she's some sort of buyer, but
Okay, so we went from that whole thing with after Morocco, that the conference call. We just have to like they have to just agree to disagree, Cindy and Sonia, and just move on because it's not going to work. Then we go to the aftermath of Morocco with Luann and Alex.
yeah, that coffee was pretty rough.
Yeah. So that was where the infamous line of
Came downstairs
like
with
wild
your
buffalo.
Herman Munster shoes. And Alex says, well, they're actually Louis Vuitton. And Luann delivers the classic, well, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Yes. I mean, that's really true.
Luann, as the seasons go on, she just continues to up her game. And like, well, I mean, I think that she was a little bit mean to Alex. I think in general the brunettes were a little bit meaner to the blondes. The blondes were being very wild, but the brunettes were being very bossy about how people should be.
I agree. I definitely agree.
They're very dismissive too, because by the end of that obviously doesn't end up going very well. We're starting out talking like that at this coffee, and it ends with, Luann basically being like, fuck you, have a good life.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that they think Alex just really, I always think, had like a bad taste in her mouth with Luann. And they were never really friends. So there was no love lost, I think, for Lou. I think Alex always wanted a little bit of acceptance. And like you said earlier, I think that Alex finally found her voice. She just didn't know how to articulate herself and it just didn't translate well. And the other ladies were like, I'm bored of you. Stop breaking. She was an easy target. Stop breaking out in hives. Stop having a panic attack. They kept saying to her, so.
Yeah, and I mean, and that whole situation with her and Luann really was only escalated because Luann and Ramona were fighting, and we saw more of that continue to play out too. Because there's always the conversation with Ramona about, well, Ramona always wants to talk about Luann's parenting and Luann's like infidelities in her previous marriage, like being an open relationship.
Yes. Yeah. She always takes a jab when she can. You know, last season we saw her make the jab in front of Victoria saying, oh, well, your husband's 20 years older than you, or you married an older man or whatever. And then, you know, this season she makes the jabs of the infidelity and, you know, talks about her and Jacques. And then, you know, you have the whole, oh, so now you're a weekend mom. That's what you are. Like, I'm a weekend mom. You know, my daughter turned
like,
out.
You're only in the city. She's like, you're in the city all week.
Yeah. Because
and Luann's like, well, I'm in the city 2 to 3 nights, darling.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, so you're a weekend mom. And she goes, that's, and I would take offense to that if I was Luann. But I don't
think anyone would. Well,
but I don't think Ramona's wrong. So, yeah. You know, there's that. So, I mean, you know, there's different types of mothers. There's different, you know, look at their children even go to different schools. You're in the same city, same social circles, but the way that they go about their education, the way they go about sweet 16 birthday parties, it just couldn't be different. It's night and day. You have, you know, Ramona really judges Luann as a mom. And one thing I should say, moms should not judge other moms. You don't know what any other mother is going through. And I think every mom does what they think is best for their child and their lifestyle. And
every situation is different.
Yeah. And I think Victoria she's really thrived. You know, she went and she did the boarding school and stuff like that, but Avery went the different direction and Avery's really thriving. So you even see Luann says to Ramona, well, Ramona says, I'm with my daughter a lot. I'm a good mom. That's why my daughter turned out so great. Where me, Mario, and Avery are like a trifecta.
And Luann's like, how's that trifecta working out for you?
And those are her little digs, right? How's that trifecta working out for you? But that's when she says, my daughter's so good because I spend all this time with her. And Luann goes, your daughter is wonderful. And I'm really surprised that she's so good. And the part that she didn't insert was considering that you're her mother.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, that's what Luann was implying. So I think that dynamic between Luann and Ramona travels throughout the duration of Roni. And it's just, it's really interesting to see, to go back and really like dissect their relationships in the earlier seasons, you know, cause we know where they are now.
Yeah. And one thing that was interesting that they brought up at the reunion was that they were talking about how like apparently Victoria had been in 4 different schools in 4 different years. And Avery had also been to some different schools too. And it's like,
Avery got kicked out of school.
Yeah, I feel like for Ramona because of something that happened on television, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. It was the Turtle Time season. It was something from last season. I don't know if it was them on the Hooters boat or whatever it was. I mean, Ramona's not the only mom to ever be affected, her children to ever be affected by the show. I know that they, Brandi Redman on Dallas, her kid got kicked out of school too because her mom called it, because her daughter went to a Catholic school and her mom called wine, Brandi called wine Jesus juice. So it's like, Ramona, your actions on a reality television show has caused your child to be shunned from a school. Those who live in glass houses shall not throw stones, you know? Yeah. But Ramona's a glutton for punishment.
I know, it's just so funny like that. And you know, Ramona eventually finds other things to dig on, but their fights are always just about like the children and that past relationship, because like, you know, Ramona is also mad because she, you know, she's still mad because she thinks Luann believes what the fortune teller was saying, or that Luann was trying to insinuate something from what the fortune teller was saying. And she's like, well, Luann, just because you had problems doesn't mean that I had problems like that.
Yeah. And at the reunion, I think Luann says probably 20 times, I don't know how many times I need to tell you this. I did not say anything about Mario in your relationship at all this season. I never said anything. And really, she didn't. It was the other ladies who kind of discussed it. It was really Jill and the other ladies who kind of discussed it. But I don't even feel like Jill went about it in a malice way. She didn't bring it up. It was just when it got brought up to the forefront, then Jill was like, I have heard this before. But once you say that, you kind of can't take it back. And since Luann was the one to translate, How come Ramona didn't get as pissed at Kelly for the message as she got for at Luann, you know?
It's probably because Ramona knows that she's made allegations about Luann, so she probably thought that Luann was trying to serve him right back to her.
Do you think that that's why Ramona decided to not be in Luann's music video? Because then we see the Countess go ahead and invite all the ladies to shoot her music video for Chic C'est La Vie, right? And you see Ramona go, she doesn't want us in her video because she wants us in her video. She wants us in her video to make her video better.
Yeah.
And they,
she's like, I don't want to have to be surrounded by sexy men. And it's like, it's not gonna, well, first of all, that's what the first video was like.
Right.
Why don't you ask for a description of what the new video sounds like? And it's like, they're not going to copy the same thing.
No.
What, you think you're going to be set up looking like there's like some sort of like housewives orgy in this music video?
Well, and
this
then
the Erica Jane, darling.
Okay. So at some point, Luann, and maybe I just don't recall this, Luann must have voiced to the gals that her son was not happy with the Money Can't Buy You class video. And so Ramona went ahead and used that against Luann, saying, look, even your son, even Noelle wasn't happy with the video. And I've talked to my daughter and Avery's not okay with it. Then Sonia found out Ramona wasn't doing it. So then she basically jumped on that bandwagon and said, well, you know, my daughter doesn't want me to do it either. So I'm not, Quincy doesn't want me to do it. So I'm not going to do it either. And then Alex apparently is okay with the see you next Tuesday word, but she's not okay with the other C word, which is class, which I think is wild.
Yeah, exactly.
So the blondes ultimately said, we're not going to be in your video.
Yeah. I mean, the blonde versus brunettes continued. And even at the reunion, they had them seated on the appropriate couches. And like, it was just a pretty unhinged reunion in general. I mean, Jill, I feel like, was like super pissed. Because, like, she's, like, calling when she said that thing about Alex, and she's like, you are a fucking bitch. Yeah. I was like, damn, Jill came to play today.
Hell yeah. I mean, I love Jill. You know, Jill's my girl. It was kind of sad watching the reunion because, they went at each other at the reunion. They were ruthless. They did not give a shit. But I also know that, you know, this is our last season with Kelly, Jill, and Alex. And so knowing that this was like the beginning of the end, or that kind of made me sad, you know, and knowing that they did not know that they weren't coming back yet, because you see Jill say, and if we come back for another season, I'm sure Alex, we're going to have to interact. But I don't disagree with that, because where else were they going to go from there? You know?
Yeah. I think a lot of the things about that, 'cause they also got rid of Cindy. And
oh yeah, Cindy. See, there you go. She's so
heading into season five. We're getting like our first Roni reboot, because we do fire Jill,
Alex,
Callie, Alex, and Cindy, and then we bring in, you know, Aviva, Carol, and Heather.
Yep.
And it's like, what was it that caused it exactly? I think it was mostly the reunion, because the season itself, I don't know. This was one of your least favorite seasons. So like, what would you say were some of the reasons why that is? Maybe that's part of what the network saw too, and they made those decisions.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I look back, I didn't realize that this was one of my least favorite seasons, but now doing the rewatch again, I said that to Ricky, you know, I feel like this is one of my least favorite. And that being because maybe the flow and the integration and the fun in it kind of fell away. Because while we're here for the drama, I also love when they have fun and get along. Like, I love when they go and they get on like their drunken trips and they're like cracking up and they're all in the pool and they're like, I enjoy when there's the camaraderie as well as the arguments. And I think that they lost the balance. There wasn't enough balance in terms of, and then, so like I said, where could Alex go from there? I think she had learned to voice. There was no way we were going to be able to rein her back in. And that just wasn't landing. I think Simon had played his part. Like, we saw way less of Simon this season. You know, it was like Simon was like a housewife. And now he was barely on this season, right?
Yeah.
And then I feel like the loss of Jill was hard for me. I wish that they would have given Jill a little bit longer I guess Jill was really essentially our first housewife that they put on pause.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the reunion, I feel like the fans really did not like her behavior most of the season, especially because for the most part, Sonia, Luann, and Alex were just trying to like live their lives and have fun. Less so Alex, which is why she also got chopped too. But like they ended up keeping people like Sonia and Ramona because they were just trying to be easygoing and like have fun on these trips and like bring something interesting to the table. And Luann, obviously, she's got interesting things going on too.
Yeah. They bring the sparkle still. You know, I think they still had more to bring to the table. And, you know, I think that they also do a lot of, you know, marketing groups and stuff. And people probably saw the same thing that we did. You know, it's like when it becomes not as fun to watch, you know, it was fun, but you're like, I need a little bit of lightness too. And when they kind of lost that, it was like, all right, I think and honestly, it's such a big cast. We still had the addition of the new gals next season where we still feel like we have got that home base. And you know what? This season, we got our very first glimpse of Dorinda.
Yeah, I was so excited because, I mean, obviously watching it the first time, Dorinda doesn't appear for another like 3 or 4 seasons. So like when I saw her in her red outfit, I was like, Dorinda,
What are you doing here without Dorinda? And right, so they're at a luncheon. We see a glimpse of Dorinda in her Roni red. It's interesting because she's sitting there at the table with Jill. They're fighting. Somebody was fighting at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, she got her first exposure to the housewife, you know, fight, housewife brawl. And she was just kind of being a spectator. So that made me happy to see Dorinda. Well,
I definitely know that I'm excited for season 5. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. I mean, the next season we get, you know, the girls' trips kind of just like keep getting better because next season we're going to get the Take a Xanax trip with Aviva.
Is that Turks and Caicos? Is it St. Bart's? St. Bart's, because that's where they have to get Aviva on the plane, right?
Yep.
Yes. Oh, so good. I'm very excited for next season, season 5. So we're going to watch season 5. I don't know how many episodes are on the new season, but every season we inch up just a few more. So I think that, let's see. So everybody make sure you are doing your Roni rewatch next month. We're going to recap season 5. We're going to have a few new housewives and it's just going to be wild. So make sure that you're following all of our pages. We've got the Bravo Critics page at Bravo Critics. Make sure you're following Ricky at That Bravo Gay and myself, Ariel, at Bravo and T. And our podcast is available on all platforms. So Spotify, Apple, you know, Anchor, Stream. Wait, what is the last one? I always forget it.
Stitcher.
And so make sure you find it wherever you guys get your podcasts. And I also want to give you a tiny little teaser, everybody.
Spill the tea, girl.
Okay. Ricky and I have something exciting happening in just a few days. We are going to be interviewing the one and only Miss Dorinda Medley. Yes, people, you heard it here.
Yes.
Yes, the Bravo Critics are interviewing Dorinda. So that is going to be our next episode coming out. You guys are going to have a fun-filled episode. All the things you want to know about her time on Roni, her upcoming Ultimate Girls Trip, and everything Dorinda. Because, you know, she always makes it nice. So
exactly. Until then,
cheers.